Okay, I just want to take a break here and ask a question to all of you listening to this podcast. Have you actually ever thought about starting a podcast yourself? A year ago, roughly, December of 2017, when we decided to start our own podcast and Tatooine Sons became a real thing, we had lots of questions, like how do we record an episode? How do we get our show on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the other places people listen to podcasts? And then how do we make money from it? And the answer to every one of these questions that we found over the last year is really simple. It's Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can actually match you with some great sponsors too, so you can actually get paid to podcast. And that's one of the things we love. We're getting sponsors reaching out to us about about sponsoring our Tatooine Sons podcast has been awesome, but also the ease to getting this out there to all of the other platforms. And so if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. We can't wait to hear your podcast.
Kanan continues to train Ezra in the ways of the Force, but both become frustrated with each other and their new roles. Meanwhile, an underground transmission reveals that a Jedi Master long thought dead is alive and in Imperial custody. It's time to revisit Star Wars Rebels Season 1, Episode 5, Rise of the Old Masters.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen, with the dark shadow of the Empire rising to take their place. This message is a warning and a reminder for any surviving Jedi. Trust in the Force. Do not return to the Temple. That time has passed, and our future is uncertain. We will each be challenged. Our trust, our faith, our friendships. But we must persevere, and in time, a new hope will emerge. May the Force be with you, always.
Well, hey, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us again for another episode of Star Wars Rebels Revisited. It's been a few weeks. The original plan for the show was to do one of these every single week starting in January. We knocked out January pretty well, but then life kind of took over, and I got a new job or a new position with my company that I was working with, which involved some travel and training and a lot of time. And then we moved into a new place. And so the good news is we have a studio to do this in every single week, and so it's going to help us to be more consistent with this. We got Sam over here. So Sam, say hi to everybody.
Sup?
All right, and then we got BB Nate over here.
Hello.
And you know, today is the anniversary that we're recording this. It's actually February 19th when we record this episode. It's the anniversary of the airing of Jedi Knight in Doom from season 4 of Star Wars Rebels. So it's like one of the most popular, famous episodes in the history of Star Wars Rebels. We're not talking about that one tonight, though. But we're going to talk a lot about Caleb Doom, or as we were knowing better, Kanan Jarrus, today as we move forward with this. So let's just jump right in and talk a little bit about this episode. Let's go over the recap on this. The recap says Ezra has started his Jedi training, but struggles with the basics while Kanan... Okay, let me start that all over again. Make sure I can read it. Like,
right.
Coherent? Are we good?
Yeah,
okay. All right, good. Ezra has started his Jedi training, but struggles with the basics while Kanan also struggles in his new role as a mentor. The Rebels discover an underground transmission reporting that Jedi Master Luminara Unduli has survived Order 66 and is being held in a high-security Imperial prison on Stygian Prime. That's a fun one to say. Yeah, frustrated with his own inability to teach Ezra, Kanan leads his crew to rescue Luminara, hoping she would be a more capable teacher for Ezra. Upon reaching her cell, Kanan and Ezra discover that Luminara is long dead and that her remains are being used as bait by an Inquisitor to lure the Jedi into a trap. The two work together to escape the Inquisitor before Hera rescues them aboard the Phantom. After Ezra reveals his insecurities over Kanan, trying to give him another mentor, Kanan resolves to train Ezra himself. It was a big one. This one is where things start to really amp up when it comes to, like, moving the storyline forward. Inquisitors, Callus, Ezra and Kanan's training, all of this kind of stuff. Why don't we start with you, Samuel Hutt? What was your initial reaction to, tell our fans or our watchers over there, what your initial reaction was to watching and revisiting Rise of the Old Master?
So specifically revisiting?
Yeah, might as well. Coming back to this as we go back through the series again.
It was really fun, just because I know where the characters end up after this. And to see where they start off was interesting. To see the first time that the Jedi meet the Inquisitor and everything like that was really fun to watch.
It's awesome. What about you, BBD? What did you think about it?
Well, the first time I saw this episode, I thought it was okay. I didn't really enjoy it too much, but I came back to it after seeing the whole series and how Kanan and Ezra end up, like Sammy said. And I noticed this is a really, really great episode for how they planned it out. And then the Inquisitor. And then when you think of how he ended up, he was a Jedi Temple guard.
And we know none of this at this point in the series. The first time we watch it, we don't understand his connection to the Jedi Order himself, how he was a Temple guard. He was a Jedi himself that had turned to the dark side. And so he's been in certain episodes up till now. I think every episode we've had at least an appearance with the Inquisitor.
I think so. Just a little cameo.
But nothing to the extent where we've like seen him battling and seeing him do what he's doing in this one. This is the first time, if I'm not mistaken, Kanan and Ezra confront the Inquisitor with it. So I think it's a lot of fun to see that, knowing what's going to happen, especially as we get further into this first season. This first season, at the end of this season, there's a major confrontation between Kanan and the Inquisitor, the Grand Inquisitor, and we find out a lot of information on that. He becomes sort of it's a central moment in the first season on that. So I liked this episode a lot. I remember the first time watching it being really hopeful that Luminara Unduli was actually really alive, and being really disappointed with the reality that she wasn't being brought in. I kind of liked the idea of a Clone Wars era Jedi being brought into Rebels to help kind of coach and mentor Kanan Jarrus as he mentors Ezra. And that's where I thought this episode was going to go. Really disappointed when she was, it was just her corpse, basically, that they were manipulating the Force through to help like attract them to it, which also opens up a whole different idea as to what the Force is like and how that all works.
Yeah.
That was really bizarre. It's
just the Midichlorians.
Right, exactly. But then, you know, thinking about where I hoped that this episode was going to go, it was interesting how what I wanted to see happen originally when I first saw this episode actually does happen starting in season two.
Yeah.
A Clone Wars Jedi comes back into the fold because she comes into this show and she mentors Kanan as Kanan mentors and trains Ezra. Of course, we know that it's not Luminara Unduli.
Right.
It's actually Ahsoka Tano that ends up being the one that does that. And that's what I love so much about this episode. All right, so we've gotten your initial reaction as to what your thoughts were on Rise of the Old Masters, but I kind of want to get some, like, your favorite moments from the episode. So I'm going to start with you, BB Nate. What was one of your favorite moments in Rise of the Old Masters?
When Ezra opened up the lightsaber directly to Kanan and almost killed him, almost. It got a really interesting, like how Luke almost did that in episode 4, how he could have just...
Well, I don't think that actually happens in episode 4. This is actually a little side note. For all of you that may not know how we handle social media, I pretty much do all the social media. I handle Twitter, that kind of stuff. So they don't see some of these things. But actually last week, Mark Hamill himself tweeted out that photo in Ben's hut. mm-hmm. where, you know, the famous photo with Luke looking and staring into the lightsaber.
Right down the barrel.
And asked if that was something that someone photoshopped, or if that was a blooper, like, or an outtake that someone had mm-hmm. had, or if that was actually in the movie. It's not in the movie.
Oh, I know that.
But he didn't even know where that came from with it. So it, I think that they were poking fun at it a little bit in this episode. But in the end, I don't think that that's, you know, it was a replay. But anyway, sorry.
It was just a funny little instance that they had. It was great. I just found it to be a kind of the connection that Ezra and Kanan have during through the whole series. It's not the best relationship, but they do it pretty well. They figure it out, so.
Well, it really does develop the more that the series goes on into very much more less of a mentor apprentice type relationship, and it really does become a father son relationship.
Yeah.
But by the end, the closeness that's there, and the tension, and the moments where the father's like freaking out and frustrated, mm-hmm. and the sons aren't really, or the son in this case is not really that thrilled with the father, but the love is always there. Not unlike regular father-son relationships. Like when I force my sons to do a podcast video recording on a night when one of them's got a migraine and struggling a little bit. He's doing awesome with it. I'm proud of him. So I want to go out on public record with that. Cool moment. What about you, Samuel? What was one of your favorite moments?
I think these were some of my more favorite moments just from the first time viewing it. But now that I've read the Darth Vader comics that have the Inquisitor in it and just seeing the series again, I like these moments even more. And that's when Kanan and Ezra first meet the Inquisitor. I love that scene because while the Inquisitor is dueling Kanan, you know, he's all like, oh, you rely heavily on this saber fighting style reminiscent of this master, you know, and he just knows all that, and he's analyzing him the whole time. He's using one arm behind his back while he's fighting him.
He's playing with him.
Right. It's awesome. And then, you know, shortly after that, you see that his lightsaber flips down and starts spinning.
Which is one of the most criticized elements
it
of
is.
The entire series, is the spinning lightsabers that these Inquisitors
right.
have.
But I think I don't know if they explain it later on in the series or where I read this, it may have been in the Vader comics, but it's basically, it was in, it was in the Rebel Recon for that episode.
Oh, okay.
That, it's basically like it's built to make up for his lack of skill in the dark side. That's what it's there for.
Right, because they're not Sith. And I think that's important for us to understand. You know, we know the rule of two from the Sith. We know at this point that there are only two Sith. There is Darth Sidious and Darth Vader. And so these Inquisitors are dark side users.
Right.
But and they're skilled in the Force and in lightsaber combat. But they're not at the level of the Jedi.
No.
And they're not at the level of the Sith by any means. And they need these things to compensate for their lack of skill.
Right.
Which I think is important when we see that confrontation, which we're going to talk about a little bit later.
And then, you know, as soon as he starts spinning or whatever, Ezra is all like, does yours do that?
Yeah.
I love that. And then later on, Zeb sees it and he's like, does yours do that? You know?
Yeah,
just
that's
love
cool.
That scene.
That's awesome. Of course, one of my favorite moments in the entire episode is pretty early on when Kanan and Ezra, Kanan's training Ezra, they're up on the ship and he's explaining to Ezra how to use the Force, and Ezra's saying something about, he's trying, I'm trying, and Kanan throws out my favorite dad quote of all time.
Yeah.
I say it at least once a day, I think, try not, do or do not, there is no try. Which was awesome when he said it. I was excited about it. I thought that was great. But what was better was when Ezra's like, what does that mean? It doesn't make any sense, basically. And Kanan's like, yeah, I don't know, but Master Yoda used to say it. So it's a lot of fun because some people, they don't think that quote makes sense. So
I never, I mean, first time you started using it, I was like, that doesn't make sense. So
it's kind of funny too.
I thought it was fun that they poke fun at it in the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, it was funny because I've got a shirt with Yoda on it, and the front of it says "Try not, do or do not." There is no try. It says all that. And you guys got me that shirt when we went to Disney World, Disney World like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or so, a long time ago. We went and we did the whole Star Tours thing at Hollywood Studios, and you guys got me that shirt because I've said that line all the time. Do you have any other moments that were really special to you, Peter?
When Ezra said, I don't want the best master or teacher, I want you.
That's cool.
And that was just great. And that just, like you're saying, explains the father and son relationship between Kanan and Ezra.
That's awesome.
It's just really interesting for me.
I love that moment, and I love that idea, because we feel like as fathers, as parents or adults that are, you know, training and raising children and things like that, it's so easy for us to feel like we have to be perfect. Or the best, and we're flawed. We make mistakes. We force our kids to do things when they shouldn't be forced to do them, like tonight. Or we get frustrated because of things going on around the house that shouldn't have been going on, like lights getting broken with lightsabers. And should we just tell the story? I mean, we might as well. Go for it.
I mean, there's not much to tell, but I was being the idiot swinging around my lightsaber.
In our new house.
Yes.
Yeah, just moved into it like a week and a half ago. Yeah.
I was just being an idiot, swinging around my lightsaber, hit one of the lampshades on the, or I don't know what they're
on
called.
The ceiling fan.
Yeah, the light.
The bulb.
The glass covering around the bulb, and just broke a section off.
That's great. And of course, BB-8's getting his new lightsaber on Thursday, so we fully expect the same thing to happen in Israel.
No, I don't really. It's because it's over my bed, and it'd be kind of hard.
Okay.
Thank God. That's good.
Yeah, so, you know, we as parents, we want to be perfect because we want to give you guys the best. And we come up short every single day. And we feel like failures every single day. And so I love the fact that you even picked this one, BB Nate, that you said, you know, that's a favorite moment for you when Ezra says, I don't want the perfect master or the best master. I just want you. That's a cool one. What about you, Samuel?
No, I think those are pretty much my two favorite moments,
okay.
the when they meet and the whole lightsaber thing. But, I mean, I just like it was just a good episode. I mean, it had humor to it, and it had a lot of bearing on the future of the story.
Yeah.
You know, they were poking fun at the stormtroopers a lot, you know, dragging them around, you getting their heads stuck in doors and stuff. It was just a fun episode. I just like that episode. Yeah.
I also love the moment when we start to get and this happens a couple times. We'll talk about this a little bit more in the Revelation section coming up. But early on, we get this glimpse of something with Kanan as a Jedi that I don't think we were anticipating when this series started.
Mm.
And we see it play out all the way to Doom, final episode that you know with Kanan. I mean, spoiler alert: Kanan dies in you know like 3 episodes left in the series. We know this. If you're watching this, I'm sure you know this. And today, like I said, we're recording this on the 1 year anniversary of when that aired. With it, you want to see our initial reaction for it? You can go to YouTube. We had a live viewing of that.
Yeah.
Episode. Like 2,000 people had watched us react to this move, this thing.
That episode?
Yeah, it was that. Really? We had about two weeks that we did this. You know, I didn't think Kanan was going to be this master Jedi that we get in this series. But we get a glimpse of it early on because Ezra falls off the ghost. They're training on top of the ghost. As the ghost is in orbit or flying above Lothal.
A good thousand.
You know, thousands of feet above Lothal. They're training on top of it. And Ezra slips and he begins to fall. And it's one of those moments where you kind of know something's going to save Ezra.
Oh, right.
It's too early in the series for Ezra to die, right? He's the main character. And he doesn't die in the series. But we see Kanan use the Force to reach out and grab him and lift him up. And it was just, I just remember both times watching it going, geez, Kanan's got, I mean, he knows how to use the Force. He's strong in the Force. And we have to remember his training was never fully completed.
Yeah.
Order 66 takes place as he's a Padawan. And he ran and hid and changed his name and became something different. I often wonder when I watch this series what Kanan could have been had Order 6 never taken place, and he would have completed his training and moved to becoming a master and potentially moved to become a member of the Jedi Council. That would have been pretty awesome. So yeah. That's one of my favorite moments.
Well, in the Kane and Juris comic, I haven't read the second volume, which I'm planning on doing. He does run away and hide, and he meets this guy who he was trying to find when he was a Jedi under his master. And so he has to work with this smuggler and crime lord and not a good guy, but he has to work with him because he's the only guy that he knows. And so he learns, he gets betrayed like 3 times by the same
person. Oh, jeez.
And then, like, it keeps happening. He learns to deal with the problems that he had.
Yeah.
And he, like you said, didn't get to complete his training. And he would have probably learned about betrayal. And he learned from hard.
Yeah, he didn't learn in a classroom. He learned in the real world, right?
He learned he was in a cave by a campfire with his squad of troops and his master that he... The troops, they're best friends with him and all
wow.
that stuff. And one of the troops goes and sees Order 66 and it starts happening. He gets
Jeez.
Right there. And it's insane. It was a...
It's awesome.
Really.
Very cool.
Intense.
Awesome. Very cool.
Do you really think you can save the boy? For his sake, surrender.
I'm not making deals with you.
Then we'll let him make one, shall we? Your master cannot save you, boy. He is unfocused and undisciplined.
Then we're perfect for each other.
I do so admire your persistence. Ready to die?
So there we go. So Kanan and Ezra are confronted by the Inquisitor. This is that moment that we learned something very special in this. And this one was more subtle. In the previous episodes, the revelation was like
huge.
In your face.
Right.
There's no way you can miss it. It's Zeb finding out that Kallus is the one that annihilated his species.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Kanan reveals that he's a Jedi to everybody and all that kind of stuff. This one was a little bit more subtle, but it's really important. It goes back to what I was talking about in the previous segment. You know, we see now, I know we talked about this earlier too, the Inquisitor is not a fully trained Sith, but he's strong.
Yeah.
At the same time, Kanan is not a fully trained Jedi. And when they have this confrontation, you know, there's this moment, Kanan is thrown back by the Inquisitor, like we just saw in the clip. And there's this, you know, you're unfocused and undisciplined, which was it? Does somebody else say that to Luke or something like that? Where do I hear that in another Star Wars moment?
You're unfocused. I don't think it's the undisciplined part, but you're unfocused sounds familiar. I don't know.
Oops.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come on, Dad.
Yeah, sorry about that. We record live. So.
I know.
You know, it's familiar.
I think it's either Darth Vader, I think. I just like to say
No,
Darth
it sounds
Vader.
Like something Sidious would say.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
I think it's something in Clone Wars.
Yeah.
If you're watching this and you know what we're talking about, please let us know. Hopefully my screen won't fall down anymore. It doesn't like me. All right. Anyway. You know, so there's this, you know, this conversation. You know, basically, the Inquisitor does what dark force users do. He offers Ezra to become his apprentice, basically, you know. He talks about him being unfocused and undisciplined. And there's this moment where Ezra makes it clear he's not going to turn to the dark side and go with the Inquisitor, which, why should he, right? And he's like, okay, prepare, then you're ready to die. Mm-hmm. And he comes, the Inquisitor comes at it. And this is when Kanan, like, again, shows what he will become in this series. This unbelievably powerful Jedi. And he takes the Inquisitor, and he goes Vader-like. This is like Rogue One,
yeah, sort
of. End of Rogue One moments on it and stuff like that. I mean, this is when Vader is on Cloud City and he's throwing the stuff at Luke and all this. This is that kind of a moment. He takes the Inquisitor and he just throws him up into the ceiling so Ezra can get away. I don't remember ever seeing anything like that by a Jedi.
Not by a Jedi, no.
Before. So, I think this is a really important moment for us to begin to see that there is this amazing potential with Kanan that's going to play itself out. What do you guys think about that?
I totally agree. It really does display how powerful he's going to become and how he's unlike any other Jedi we've seen before. But another thing I want to point out from the clip, that I don't know if it has any real connotations later on or whatever, but it stuck out to me at first. Is, you know, he says you're unfocused and he's unfocused and undisciplined, and then Ezra says, "Well, then we're perfect for each other."
Yeah,
you know,
right. Which goes back to what you were talking about earlier. I don't want the best; I want you. Right?
They both acknowledge that they're not perfect. They're not as good as they could be, but they know that they're good for each other. And I think that the way their words are escaping me today.
Yeah.
Their
relationship,
is very unique in that the master teaches the apprentice, but the master also learns from the apprentice a lot throughout this series.
Oh, absolutely.
And
Ezra teaches Kanan a great deal about the Force throughout this series.
Right.
Especially as we get, I'm thinking about getting into like the, was it this episode? Yeah, with the those bat-looking whale things. Not the purgles, but you know what I'm talking about? They were flying in this. They're in this episode, right?
Like the 2BDs or something?
What are they called?
I know it was like a play on 2B Determined, and then they just changed the name up to be something Star Wars.
Tibbidies, yeah. Mating calls and sending in the fleet and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The Tibbidies, yeah. So, I mean, that's funny. I didn't think about it.
They said that on there.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
If you've read the trivia for this episode, you know the Tibbidies earned their name from the acronym "To Be Decided." But they're way more than a common placeholder lured towards Hera due to an unfortunate frequency choice. They become heroes and fly in to save the day with Hera in the lead. Okay, yeah. So this is like the beginning of bringing in these creatures, and Ezra has this connection with the Lothcat. He has a connection with the wolves.
The
he has the connection with the Purgles. This happens throughout the series, and we see an element of the Force through this that Ezra connects with, that Kanan learns from through this this series. So that's awesome. What about you? What do you think about this big moment where the Inquisitor and Ezra and Kanan battle each other?
It's like you said, most of the other big revelations in all the episodes are very apparent. I feel like this one is a very, not apparent, but important. More important than most of the others.
Huh.
Unfocused and undetermined, like Sandy said.
Undisciplined, yeah.
Undisciplined. And just Kanan saving Ezra, a kid he just met, what you'd say.
Yeah.
Probably a week ago.
Yeah.
Something. And probably longer than that, but yeah.
It's very important in the rest of the series for this revelation.
It's awesome.
It's a good one.
It's awesome. It's a good episode. Well, in the next one, Ezra is going to get some time alone for a little while. He's going to start
solo
to
mission.
Go on a solo mission. And this is, a moment where we find out whether or not Ezra prefers to be with a group and a community, a family, or whether he would like to be out on his own. So it's an important episode for that. So we'll talk about that next week. In the meantime, thank you guys for watching. Please subscribe. That's really easy. There's a little button right below where I'm pointing somewhere now. here, where you can click subscribe and get updates on this video and all our other videos. We also do a weekly podcast that's available on all audio sources. And then last week we started just deciding to throw out the video camera and record the behind the scenes basically of us doing this, which was a complete utter disaster. So it's a lot of fun to watch. You can count how many times we blow our nose on the last episode because all three of us were sick on that one. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just search Tattoo and Sons. You'll find us on that. We love the hashtag Big Turbis Cannon. We'd love for you guys to use that hashtag as you talk about Porgs or Star Wars or The Last Jedi or Episode 9, because we're convinced that Turbis the Porg is still on the Millennium Falcon in Episode 9 and he's going to be made canon. We believe this. And it's going to happen. Thank you guys. If you want to check out our Patreon page, please go to do that. Patreon.com/TatooineSons. Your financial support helps us do this and more. You can check out that page. That pretty much wraps up this episode. It looks like we pretty much hit our mark on 30 minutes on this one, guys. Good job on that. Anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.